When we are confused, we have lost confidence in ourselves. Now, when the mind is confused about ideas, creeds, dogmas, tradition, all that's in the mind tends to confuse the individual. Because the individual does not recognize or cannot discern what is false from true. What is in the mind belongs to the mind. I've always been trying to show you what is in the mind is not reality. What is in the mind is an idea created by the mind itself. What is in the mind is reactions to things external to the self, internal ideas and sensations. But reality is not there. Past, future belongs to the mind. Past is a memory, the future is also in the mind in the form of hope or fear, whatever the case may be. So therefore, it all belongs to the mind. Now, what is reality is not in the mind, it's beyond the mind. But you can experience this reality when you know what is in your mind. For instance, if I say to you, life is now. It does not have to be, it is ever-present. And that ever-presence is now. It is neither yesterday nor tomorrow. It's neither in the past nor the future, because that's in the mind. But the ever-present is eternal. It is something that is always present. But when you have experienced perhaps a moment of this realization, of that which is real in itself, and experienced it, mind you, not to something that's in your mind, an idea of it, but actually experienced that moment of reality, where, as it were, the world and everything stood still, and there at that moment there was complete stillness everywhere, and in that moment you knew. Now, that is eternal. You entered into eternity. You entered into eternity where you experienced eternity. That was a moment. Could you then experience this eternity continuously? No, because of the fact that you are in and out of the relative. You are in the relative, and you're out of the relative, you're back in the relative, and you're out of it, in and out, in time and space, and then into the timeless. But you must know when you are in time and space, and you must know when you are in the timeless. You must know when you are in eternity, and you must know when you are in time. If you do not experience this timeless state, you will never have an idea in your mind, like the past or the future. But I have always told you that now is the only time now, and there can be no other time but now. In reality, I neither there can. Anything else is an idea in your mind. The experience then becomes a memory, does it not? If you experience this one moment, then, of reality, it then becomes a memory. You try to recapture that, do you not? Many of my students come and they tell me they try to recapture those moments. How can you recapture a moment in eternity? It's an utter impossibility when eternity is ever present. That experience then existed as a memory. And you try to capture that memory. You can't capture that experience, it was a memory. It cannot be done. But if you are really desirous of knowing, you must become aware of everything that's relative. And in that peace, in that quiet of the mind, you will experience this timeless state. And once you have tasted it, you're never the same anymore. No matter whether you enter back and forward into the relative, it doesn't matter much after all. In our modern society, most are in danger of being confused mentally and physically with loss of self-confidence, which is the individual's most valued asset. When a relationship is based on individual needs, there must be conflict. Being dependent on each other, we are using each other for a purpose. With such an end in view, relationship does not exist. Therefore, this sense of separation between each other has caused a great deal of difficulties in the world. Organizations are based upon it. Groups are based upon it. Religions are based upon it. All these things are based upon it, which destroy our relationship, our true relationship. Our true relationship with one another is what the Master said long ago, love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor is yourself. And what you see in your neighbor, you see in yourself. You cannot see outside yourself. You can only experience what you see in yourself. You can't experience outside yourself. And therefore, if you see evil in your neighbor, you are experiencing evil in yourself. And it is yourself you are seeing, not your neighbor. You're actually experiencing and seeing yourself. Now, if you realize the truth of this, you cannot see and you cannot comprehend, nor can you see anything external to the self. It must become within the self. Vibrations that reach through the ear, the eyes, whatever the case may be, pass into the centers of the brain, there they're interpreted, and you give expression to these ideas according to your own experiences, according to your beliefs. And if your experiences have been evil, you give expression to that evil just the same. If you are innocent, you could know nothing at all about it. You are like a little child. Therefore, like a little child, you enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is the natural state of your mind when you cleanse it and clarify it of all things that are relative, at least things that are false. Things that you know that are not true, that are not reality in itself. Reality cannot be seen. It can only be experienced through awareness. Society based upon individual usage is founded on antagonism and opposition. In modern society, we combat many obstacles, particularly external suggestions that creep into the mind unnoticed and unchallenged. And the greatest of these is fear. For in the usage of one another, there is fear. So to avoid fear, we think we must possess. From this possession, there arises envy, suspicion, and conflict. Such a relationship can never bring about happiness because we use one another with an end in view. Therefore, when you possess someone, what do? You're either suspicious about them, or you are envious about them, or whatever the case may be, there is conflict. Now, if your real relationship is based upon that which is the foundation of the universe, which is love in itself, which is its own eternity, because you cannot create love, love exists from the beginning because it was in the beginning and it has always been. You do not create love because love itself is eternal and ever present. And that is the basis of our relationship. Unless then we know what we are doing, we have no love. Unless you discern what way you are treating your neighbor, you can have no love. Because love can only express itself fully when you have got rid of all these things that are preventing the expression of love. When we use one another for our needs, in actuality there is no relationship at all. There is no real contact with one another. There is no real communion with one another. How can you have communion with another when the other is used as a piece of furniture for your convenience and comfort. Therefore, it is essential to understand the significance of relationship in daily life. The cause of all misery in the world is separation. We separate ourselves from one another through nationality, through groups, through politics, through religion, through tradition, and all these things. These things are external. Unless you discern them for what they are, you'll still be conditioned by them. And if you are conditioned by them, is it not so that your thinking is according to your conditioning? So it must be, can't be anything else. If you are consciously caught up in your conditions, you are consciously setting in operation activities. And if, when you are consciously caught up in these things, you have action towards that end. But immediately you become consciously aware of what it is, seeing that it's false, having no foundation of its own, because anything that separates man from man is false. It has no existence in truth at all, because truth is one. There is no separation in truth. God is one. Life is one. Infinity is one. There can be nothing outside it. There is no division in it. Any division in it is a creation of the mind, a conditioning of the individual. Therefore, if the individual is conditioned through separation in any way whatsoever, he cannot then have any relationship at all. True relationship comes, does it not, through understanding, and in no other way. Our relationship today throughout the whole world is no relationship at all. We have no relationship with one another. We are antagonistic to everyone. Is it not so that we create one group, and then another group, and this group is torn down to build another group, and the same group is then torn down to build another group? Well, it's the same people as building those groups, the same ignorant people, the same people who are steeped in separation, are building and tearing down those groups. One time we had a League of Nations, now we have United Nations. Is it not so, and very clearly, that the United Nations will fall the same way as the League of Nations? It cannot be otherwise, because there is no real relationship to hold together as one in unity. They're all separate and distinct. In that group, you have separations, antagonisms, and distinctions. You have different nationalities which separate themselves from one another. You have different ideologies that do the same thing. You have everything in these groups that cause disintegration. And the world is disintegrating before your very eyes because of that one fact that is built upon separation. And will still disintegrate until such time that man wakes up to the fact that he's living in separation. But if you do not realize the fact that you're living in separation, how can you understand unity? You'll never understand unity unless you understand separation. You talk about unity, but it's rubbish. You can talk about it till doomsday, but you will never understand it, and it'll never be anything to you. So the cause of all misery in the world is separation, and not until we discern what separation is and means can you understand unity. In the understanding of our relationship and discerning what we are doing in our relationship to one another, we will become aware of what separation means. The understanding of ourselves through relationship will reveal the cause of our misery and the misery in the world. So our relationship is a self-revealing process. And if you can see the truth of what I am showing, that it is necessary to understand these things that are causing misery and preventing that which is real from manifesting in your lives. But you will say, as the world is the cause of the misery, it is nothing of the sort, it's you and me. Everyone like it. That's the cause of the trouble in the world, the individual. Because is the world not made up of individuals? Without the individual understanding these things, how the devil can the world get right? Never, never will. One day, of course, naturally it will come. But it may take a lot of suffering to bring it about. Apparently man does not turn to reality until he suffers sufficiently, or he does not make any effort to find out what it is. So therefore, what he says really is what Jesus said at the beginning. For if this is what they do when the wood is green, what will they do when the wood is dry? When this self-revealing process has entered the deeper strata of your mind, you will then realize the cause behind individual and collective antagonism that is destroying our peace and harmony in the world today. You will say perhaps, as the majority do, what can I do about it? I can see all this trouble going on in the world, but what can I do? You can at least see that the cause is within yourself, and you can bring about a fundamental transformation based upon relationship and not on your needs. True relationship requires no needs. True relationship is a love, is a fundamental principle of the universe. And all our relationship, true relationship, is based upon it. Our difficulty is that we have a picture of what human society should be, and we try to fit ourselves into the pattern. But this pattern is fabricated and unreal. The only reality is ourselves and not a pattern. Therefore, the fundamental change must be within us and not outside us. We cannot just change the pattern on the outside and have no fundamental change within. For that which is within is always expressing itself outwardly. So if we try to change the outward thing, as we are trying to do in the world today, we're trying to get peace as an ideal, and we're trying to change the outside structure without changing and transforming in the individual within. Do you think then it's going to be a lasting peace? Of course you cannot have a lasting peace. You have wars and rumors of wars and still wars until such time as the individual begins to transform himself, herself. You can have no transformation on the outside without transformation on the inside. But that's what we are trying to do, is it not? We create organizations for the purpose of transforming the outside. But the inside, the inner, is always transforming the outer. So if the inner is not transformed, what is the outer going to be? Therefore, a mere reformation of our present structure of society without fundamentally altering ourselves only means further retrogression and further misery. The solution of this problem is you and me and others. And it starts with you and me first. What is important in this is not new patterns and superficial changes, but a complete understanding of the total process of man, which is himself. The total process of man, his spiritual, his mental activities, and his physical reactions. And unless you begin to thoroughly comprehend fundamental principles upon which you exist, and what existence really means, then there can be no peace or unity in the world, and there can be no health. Is it not so that the health of the people are getting worse and worse every day? We build hospital after hospital, and still those hospitals are filled. Medical science has become today most scientific, yet people are worse off today than they have ever been. The whole of physical structure of man is changing, caused by his emotional and spiritual forces. Man is becoming more affected by his mental reactions than he is by any physical condition that exists around him. And is it not so that your consciousness is according to your reactions? Your thoughts are according to your reactions to things external to yourselves, because you have never become aware of your consciousness. You've only become aware of the things external to yourselves, and then your consciousness is a means by which you become aware of these external things. But you do not understand these external things. You do not know what they are. You react to these things, thinking that they are real, think that they have a power of their own, when they have no power at all. Therefore, the consciousness is caught up in these things, and your thoughts are in accordance. Therefore, you crave, you have envy, you have jealousy, you have possessiveness, you have all these things that are destructive to the human nature. And man doesn't know why he becomes sick. Most people are seeking a way of life, a way of conduct. We either look to others, to the past, or we try to find a mode of behavior through our own experience with an end in view. We look to our own experience for a pattern. An experience is always conditioned. What you experience in your reactions is conditioned. And you look to others or look to the past for the experiences of the past to suit you. What do you look to then? You can only look to that which in itself is eternal and ever-present. And that which is ever-present everywhere. It is not in you and me alone. It is in every human being. It is everywhere. There is nowhere where it's not. It's based on unity. It's based on one, and one only, which is truth. Therefore, if you discern what is separation, you will arrive at truth. But if you cannot discern what is separation, how can you ever arrive at truth? If we look to another or the past for an ideal, for an example, we are forcing life into a mold. We try to shape life and thereby lose the intensity and richness of life itself. When what you know about reality is through the authority of another, you do not know. You cannot know. Because reality must be experienced, not something in your mind. What you get from another is a mental image. And you try to image what reality means, what God means, and so forth. And you can pray to this God as long as you like, but I can assure you he will never answer you. There is no answer from an image of God. There is only answer when you realize that God and you are one. As Jesus said, you worship something you do not know, but we worship something we do know. Since reality is unknown, the mind that seeks the unknown must first be free from the known. Therefore, you must know what the known is before you can be free from it. But if you're caught up in the known, how can you ever know the unknown? It is quite clear, if you're caught up in these things, which are separation. But if you're caught up in your beliefs, your ideas, and your ideals, no matter how magnificent they are, you're still not free, because you're caught up in your ideal, which is a limitation. But reality has no limitations. And if I know I'm one with reality, I don't have an ideal about it. I must experience that great, wonderful thing. And therefore, I am beyond mind, into something that is eternal, ever-present. Therefore, there is no limitation, then there is no separation. But you say, I have not experienced it. Well, how can you experience it if you're caught up in the things that are preventing you from experiencing it. It's quite true, isn't it not? If the mind is clouded, burdened with the known, it can only measure according to its own condition, its own limitation, and therefore it could never know the unknown. We saw in one of our last lessons that non-attachment was necessary for freedom. Life is free. Can you measure this freedom? Can you fathom this freedom? When your yardstick is conditioned in your mind? Because I was the Word that was in the beginning, and I am the same Word now. I am the Word that was with God, and God was that Word, and that Word was made flesh, and that Word remains immortal and free. That is me, that is you. But if you condition yourselves, you are not free. But why do you condition yourselves? You conditioned yourself because your parents were conditioned before you. You go to school and you condition yourself through education. You go to church and you condition yourself through a religion. You go to a political meeting, you condition yourself through politics. You go, you have a different nationality, so you condition yourself through your nationality. And when all this is dissolved away, what do we arrive at? The basic principles of the whole universe, love, wisdom, and power. These three go hand in hand. They are the basic principles of the universe. And when all things are dissolved away, these things give expression to themselves, to those who are prepared for them. And what is the preparation? The preparation is dissolving all that is false, understanding it, so that the mind shall be free and you'll no longer be conditioned, or your consciousness will no longer be expressing itself according to your conditioning, but your consciousness become one with the consciousness of God, giving expression to His wisdom, love, and power. That was Jesus the Christ. There was no conditioning. There was conditioning in the beginning, but after that there was no conditioning. That conditioning was dissolved away when he went into the desert. I can see the truth of it. I can see the truth of it myself, because in my own experiences, in my own training, I've sent away for weeks on end, and not until said I had dissolved everything, and I had realized everything, I come back while I say so and so and so, he says, my son, you haven't yet begun to know. So as the mind became free from all thoughts and conditions, and when all the false things and the relative things were discerned, there was a sense of freedom. There was an understanding of these relative things. There was an understanding of our reactions and thought feelings in regard to them. And we found in our own minds that it was our own thought feelings and emotions that created the disturbance within us. We were built up and conditioned by our own thought, feelings, and emotions and reactions. And then we began to see ourselves. And as we began to see ourselves and understand ourselves, these things fell away from us. And true relationship was established. You have to do that too, in your own way. And I'm always trying to get it into your minds to see how it's possible to do it. But in your relationship to one another, it's the easiest way. It's a self-revealing process, and I say, yes, it is no need for you to go and meditate and this and that. But if you discern your relationship to one another, how you are treating your neighbor, what you are doing, how you're acting, what your thought feelings are regarding your neighbor. And if you're aware and you're wise enough, you will see what you're doing. and you will see the cause of your own misery. Because when you have envy, jealousy, antagonism, do you think you escape from it? Of course you don't. You're creating disturbance within your own mind, which is expressed upon your body. So you have all sorts of conditions, and these conditions in your body are mental. Absolutely mental, every condition. And every condition is an idea, because it's not a reality. It's an idea, because it's of the mind. And initially those conditions that are created in the body through your reactions and thoughts, feelings, then the sensations and so forth are built up, and you give it an idea. And the idea gets a name, and the name becomes a fixture in your mind. Before you know where you are, you're conditioned completely. Is it a dreadful state of affairs? Too true, it's a dreadful state of affairs, and everybody is caught up in it. But reality is not an idea. Reality is a living expression of itself. Now, and I am the living expression of that, which is real, which is not an idea. And if I can discern everything else that is an idea, I can free myself, can't I? So can you. So this giving an explanation does not solve our problem. Of confusion, and it only postpones it because you do not understand the cause. It is said, if we lived rightly, all would be well with the world. But how can you live rightly unless you understand what is confusion? If you understand the cause of confusion, you will know how to put an end to it. Then comes naturally a true affectionate behavior. So the problem is not how to get out of this confusion, but rather how to understand it. And when I understand it, I can dissolve it. Our actions are according to the particular pattern of our own conditioning. Therefore, we do not try to understand, but rather try to escape from the problem. Is that not so? We try to escape from the problem, not to understand it. But that will never allow us to escape from it. Under these circumstances, the solving of the problem is impossible. Is it not so that all leaders today, political and religious, are confused and are merely experiencing the expression of their own confusion? If you follow a leader in confusion, you're also in confusion. So the question is not how to get out of confusion, but how to understand it. Can anybody accept a very few say that they are not confused politically, religiously, and economically? You have only to look around you. Every newspaper is shouting confusion, reflecting the anxieties, uncertainties, the pending wars, internal political struggles. If one is earnest in finding a new way out of this confusion, surely he must first tackle himself and not believe what he reads. We see the most stupid form of antagonism in the newspaper and radio and so forth. When you go to America, you see everyone is confused. No one knows their own mind because they are bombarded with suggestions from all sides. And before you know where they are, they're upside down. It's only the few people who understand what suggestion is. It's only the few people who understand what confusion is. It's only the few people who see how confusion is caused that are free from it. But it's just all over the world the same way. In one state here we see now, one of the greatest and largest industrial outputs and creations in the Union or even in the Southern Hemisphere only took place last Saturday. But what do you see in the newspaper? You see part of the newspapers, they absolutely boycott it because of a political idea. Because one minister gets up and talks about the press, so they boycott him. We boycott everything that is connected with that particular organization, one of the largest industrial outputs of the world in Southern Hemisphere. If it was in England and any other of those countries, we crossed every newspaper, nor even one political party or the other would be expressing the whole thing completely from top to bottom. If it was in America, it would do the same thing. And now you have the essence of confusion, but the most stupid confusion, a confusion that is, I say, is detrimental to the people who themselves are engaged in it. And any fool can see through it. I looked at the paper this morning and I saw a little picture of a small little uranium plant that cost only a few thousand pounds stuck in the middle of the paper. But I looked for the paper the other day for a picture of the largest industrial corporation in the Southern Hemisphere, but I saw nothing. So I see minds of people who are like fleas, who are conditioned in their own stupidity. How is it possible then that you can ever have anything else but confusion in such minds? Begin to realize what the truth is? Journalism today is at its lowest ebb. I'm not to talk about these sort of things, but when you begin to see things and know things and understand things and see how people condition, you can very quickly analyze what is taking place. But I'll say that journalism today is at its lowest ebb. Why? Because it's conditioned with one side or another. Each and every one is telling lies, biggest lies in creation, trying to convince or to influence and suggest to the other individual. How can you have peace and unity in a world with such trash, such mental experiences, such people who have got the mind of a pygmy, who are caught up in their own conditioning? Intellectualism is in nothing. Intellectualism is, to a great extent, preventing you from understanding wisdom. Knowledge, you say, is power, but nothing of the sort. Knowledge is very often a hindrance. It's according to how your knowledge is being used. Today, our knowledge is being used so that we can blot out millions of human beings. That's how our knowledge is being used, not for the caring of humanity. When I was in Australia a little while ago, I was interested in a project. I advocated it because I could see the great advantage to Australia. Now they were spending about nearly £40 million a day on armaments and shooting and so forth and killing one another. And from the great bite at the bottom and the Cape of Carpentaria at the top, there is only about 100 miles coming in from one side and another, where you enter into what we call an area that is below the sea level. And all that was necessary was to cut the canal from the top of Carpentaria into this big belt here, and another small canal from the big bite here at the bottom in the South Australia, to enter into this large place would be an inland sea. The inland sea then would give sufficient evaporation of water, would feed billions of acres in each side of that particular area. At the present time is barren and producing nothing. It would take millions to populate it too. And as the water would rise from the soil, it would spread all over that area. And besides of that, it could be a channel from the south to the north. It would be 2,000 miles from one to the other. It would be a channel of 2,000 miles where ships would pass from the south to the north instead of going all the way around, one way or another. And it would save millions and millions. It would cost 40 million pounds, but it was too much money. Yes, they were spending 40 million a day in killing people. What can you get out of mines like that? When I was in New Zealand, at that time, Savage was the Prime Minister. He sent an aeroplane from me to come up to Wellington, so I flew up to Wellington to see him. So he said to me that he would like me to take a place in the government because he thought that I had the knowledge and that to put certain things right. I said, well, Mr. Savage, it's this way. You put me in one man to put things right, you put another three men to see that I wouldn't put them right. But he said, we'll pay you well. I said, what will you pay me? Oh, so many hundred. I says, Mr. Savage, I can make more than that in 3 months and you're paying me for a year. So, therefore, your proposition doesn't interest me. It would interest me, mind you, if it was this way. You put me in to do certain things, but you put other people here to see that I wouldn't do them. That's your political scheme. And I'll be the pawn. Oh no, Mr. Savage, no thank you. And that is the way today. Everything is worked out that way. So the question is, what causes confusion? Why are we confused? One of the obvious factors is that we have lost confidence in ourselves. That is why we have so many leaders, so many psychologists, so many holy books, telling us what to do and what not to do. No wonder we have lost self-confidence. We've built walls around ourselves, we have accepted controls and disciplined ourselves to become automatic machines, and still we pursue different ideas and things which create contradiction. We are learning to have more confidence in the machine than in ourselves, and are therefore multiplying leaders. The more imitative we are, the less confidence we have. We have made life into a copybook. From childhood, we do what we are told to do. We are not allowed to think for ourselves, both in religion and education, so what can you expect? We must have confidence in ourselves to find out the cause of confusion. We must have a deep inward certainty to know what truth is. Confidence cannot be gained by what another says, but by understanding your own thoughts and feelings. What is happening in yourself and around you, their truth and their falsehood, their significance and their absurdity. Without knowing this, how can you clear up the whole field of confusion, which is yourself? The inner always overcomes the outer. Without understanding yourself, there can be no true basis for true thought, and any thought which produces a pattern of action will only lead to further ignorance and confusion. This transformation is not an abstraction, a thing to be wished for, but a living actuality which can be expressed as we begin to understand the way of our relationship. This actuality is love. It is the only creative factor in bringing about transformation in ourselves and in society. But before we can understand what love means, and love is, we have got to see what is preventing its true expression. When we are fettered, past bound in misery, he lets them see what they have done so proudly, so rebelliously. Job 36:8-9. Benediction. O great eternal one, thou art without confusion, for when we look upon the sun and moon, we see thy perfect plan. When I did not seek thee alone and listen to ignorant man, I was confused with the babble of the various tongues. I lost confidence in myself because I listened to others. Now I listen to thee alone, and my confidence has returned. This is my reality. The truth I find within myself. All that is false dissolves away. Loving one.